Woohoo, the crowd thinned out. Good. Good to see y'all. Everybody doing good? Everybody doing good in faith? And if not, we'll raise the dead. It's okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And we thank you for your precious, incredible, just mind-blowing love that you have called us and welcomed us and brought us into your family. We thank you that after you did that, you just didn't dump us. You said you'd never leave us, and you'd give us your word that'd be a light to our path. So today, Father, we thank you that your word would light our path for the things we're going into, the things that are going on. And we thank you that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and we will be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was kind of counting. I was like, gee, I think I only have about 8 scriptures today as opposed to 15. So I'll cut you a break here. All right. If you want to, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. If not, you know where your apps are. Last week we started talking about the red letters in your Bible. So I'm going to call it the red letter series. And it's things in the Bible that Jesus said. All right. Now, y'all know this. If you were to split your Bible in half, we've got a New Testament side and the Old Testament side. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the Gospels. Y'all know that? Good. You can teach children's ministry. That's all you need to know. Okay. But those are called the Gospels. And listen, the interesting thing is they weren't written while Jesus was walking on the earth. They were written, some of them, 30 to 50 years after Jesus was taken away, all right? They were written, and they were written by men of God that God spoke to, things that they remembered. And don't you like the Holy Spirit that reminds you of things? Like, where did I park my car? I'm out in this monster parking lot, all right? So the Holy Spirit, and that's how we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. But listen, guys, if you read the Gospels, and then you read the book of Acts, and you read parts of book of Acts and Revelation, you'll see red letters in there. Well, what are the red letters? They're things that Jesus said, or they're quotes from Jesus or stories from Jesus, okay? So we're talking about red letters, and really all the red letters are good, and we could go and just talk red letters until Jesus comes back, but I'm just going to pick a couple of them. So last week we started with Jesus' red letter where he says, you are to love your Yeah, love your neighbor, okay? I didn't say it. He said that. We're to love our neighbor as ourself. And I'm telling you what, it is just rough out there. People need to see us, the church, believers, loving, all right? Not a hating, all right? Not saying and waving things, okay? And they need to see us living thus in the area. And the really interesting thing we saw last week, Jesus didn't just say, hey, I need you to love people that look like you. I need you to love people that act like you. Maybe not. I need you to love people that believe like you and go to your church. He didn't say any of that. He said, I need you to love your neighbor as yourself. And we were talking about, matter of fact, it was really interesting. Throughout the week, I had some phone calls with people that one who was not able to be in the service, and she had watched it online, and she says, do you mean that blank blank boss of me, mine? I said, yeah, he's your neighbor, and leave the blank blanks out of there, okay? So you are here. You're to love them. You're to love them, and you're to love people that don't go to church. You're to love your neighbor who you think acts like the devil. You are to love them because, guys, it is God's love that softens people's heart, that leads them to Jesus. So you are big, you are needed, and we need to love people. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Good. How many of you agree with that? Good, good. Okay, so today we're going to talk about another red letter. This is the one where Jesus said to seek him first. Write that down. That's the title, Seek Him First, okay? So we serve a God, and he wants us to seek him first. But if you dig into the Greek on that, that word is actually talking about a command. He is commanding us to seek him first. And you know, I got to thinking about most people, myself included here, most of the time don't like to be commanded. But all you mamas, when you yell, stop, don't go out in the street, that is a command, right? And it is based on love. So you got to get your thinking when you hear, He's commanding me to do something. It is based on love, right? It is based on love. So out of love, he's telling us that we need to seek him first. Praise God. So open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. Red letter. I didn't say this. Jesus did. All right, here it goes. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay? Now, when you look at that, you think it should be easy. But you look at life, and, you know, we're not looking at us, heavens forbid, but it's not easy. It's not easy to do that, right? I don't know about you, but I am distracted. I can be really distracted in my life and I forget to seek him first. Like I got to do this and I got to do that. And some of these gottas you gotta, but I want to seek him first. All right. I want to seek him first. Seek him first. All right. So how many of you, raise your hand if you think you're a pretty disciplined person. How many are disciplined exercising? Not the remote control, just out there exercising. Matter of fact, I have two Facebook friends, and they post every day how many miles they run. I was like, you all are disciplined, okay? I'm not. How many of you are disciplined eating healthy? Somebody said to me, and I didn't know what it said, Pastor D, you really eat clean. I was like, Sherry, what does that mean? She goes, Mom, that means you eat really healthy. I go, no, I just cheat other times, okay? So, you know, moving right along. All righty. So how many of you are disciplined in your life to get to work on time? Huh, look at those hands. All right. All right. And we won't look at anybody. Okay. So whether you are disciplined or you're not disciplined, okay, I think we can all do some easy things. Ready? Every day, seek him first. Write that down. That's easy. Every day, I'm going to put him first. Every day. All right. How about this one? I think we can all do this. How about every week I'm going to seek him first. Every week I'm going to put him first. Every week. Like, good job, everybody. Y'all did it today. High five. You put him first at the first of your week. All right. Not too hard. Now, I know we have people that are not able to come for different reasons, okay? But I want to say to you guys, high five. Good job, okay? Because you decided the first of your week, you're going to put him first, right? Put him first, okay? Now, he's saying that you are to put him first, all right? And by putting him first, he's going to do some things in your life. Okay, now I don't do that to get it, but he's telling me, he's commanding, but we don't want to say command, but he's loving me enough to tell me that I need to put him first. Did everybody say put him first? Okay, so, and I would tell you what, if you put him first today, tomorrow when you get up, it's not going to be enough. You're going to have to put him first again tomorrow and the next day. And you're like, how long am I going to have to do that? Do I have to do that every day? Can I encourage you? Yep. Every day, you need to get up and put him first. Say every day. Every day. And I love it when you do it on Sunday. Every day, okay? And I put him first. And how many of you figured this out? Because you are smarter than the fifth grader. It took me a little while, but I found out when I put him first in my day goes much better when I don't put him last. Or I don't even put him, all right? I have found... How many? If I put him first, and my day goes better. It does. Okay. So Jesus says you need to seek him first. All right. Let's look at this word seek. Seek means seek him first, not second, not third, not fourth. He said what? First. Seek him first. Okay. So he wants us to seek him first. Seek him first. Okay. And the word seek means to go after, to strive after. And I like what this commentary said. It is to zealously seek for something with all of one's heart, with all of one's strength, with all of one's mind. To zealously go after. Wow, that's what that word seek means, all right? To seek intentionally, like you are on an investigation, all right? And I know some of you, you're just like on it. Well, this is that word seek. So that's the first part of the definition to seek. Now listen to the second one. We're going to talk more about this, but this one, I'm going to get you corrected here, all right? It means to worship something. The word seek in that verse means to worship something, okay? And in this case, guess who it means to worship? God, okay? To worship something. So the word seek in this word means to worship, okay? And if you study it out, it means to bow. To bow to or towards something. Okay, we're going to come back and dig that up towards the end, okay? But when I think of seek, just jot this down. Psalm 63:8, when I say seek. My soul follows hard after God, and I like what the Amplified does. My soul, my life, my very life seeks hard after God. Seeks hard after God. Now, some of you weren't even born in the 90s, but in the 90s, Tommy Tenney, anybody remember that name, wrote a book. He wrote a book called The God Chasers. Anybody ever hear that book? Anybody read the book? Great book to read. Okay, great book. I think we might have in the bookstore. Of course, it was written in the 90s, so you could probably get it on Amazon really cheap. Okay, so the whole book is about chasing God hard. Going after God with all your heart. The whole book is all about that, okay? It's like, God, I want you. I want to pursue you hard. I want to be after you first. I just want you. It's the whole book. And he's got a teen version, and he's got a study Bible, but I just gave you one sentence. That's the whole book is, okay? So Tommy Tenney comes out and writes this book called God Chasers, and the thing about God Chasers is that's what God wants for you. He wants you to go after him hard. He wants you to go after him with all your might. He wants you to be going strong for him, all right? And here's the, he puts that desire really inside of you. But my problem is I get things in the way, all right? But he puts that desire that we should, that we desire to go after him first. By the way, that we would seek him first, that we would pursue him first, that he would be first priority in our life. He puts that desire inside of us, okay? So when you think about this word seek, all right, all of us have sought out other things. Raise your hand if you've one after other things. I have, okay? Now, it could be you going after cars or houses, all right? But here's the cool thing. God's not mad at you to have those things or to want those things. Matter of fact, he doesn't want you living in a dump. Come on. He doesn't want you driving a dumpy car. He wants to bless you, okay? But he doesn't want those things to have you. He doesn't want those things to get you. He doesn't want the house to get you. He doesn't want your job to get you. He doesn't want things to get you, to have you, okay? But he wants you. And listen, if you want to be poor, go for it. Give me your money. I like nice things and I give to the church, okay? I give the gospel. But but they're not going to get me. They're not going to, and I have had days and seasons where I was after things, okay? And I got, God had to get straightened out here, all right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Ready? Seeking God is an action and a posture. And we'll talk more about the posture in the second half. But seeking God is an action. Okay, so we're going to talk about the action of seeking God, alrighty? So we got the guy named Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Everybody know that? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And so therefore, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, are really, okay, not New Testament stuff. Because Jesus was walking in the Old Covenant, alright, explaining stuff. Matter of fact, explaining what was going to happen after he died and rose again. So technically speaking, it's more Old Testament stuff, but you ought to read it. It's really good for you because it's red letter. But the Apostle Paul then comes along and he writes 2/3 of the New Testament. So if you've received Jesus Christ into your life, that is where you should be chewing and reading and hanging in the epistles, okay? Because it's written for us now. But
y'all should love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I love it. I love reading about Jesus. Okay, so the Apostle Paul comes along and he writes Romans chapter 3. And it's really interesting because he pulls something out of the Old Testament and he's going to write this in Romans chapter 3. But he's writing to people who are far from God. And you got to know that when you read that. Or you're going to get goofy, all right? And I'm going to give you this scripture, and you're like, oh, yeah, I've seen the goofy side of that. Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul. He's pulling an Old Testament scripture out, and we can learn something from it, but he's writing to people who are far from God, okay? Romans chapter 3, verse 6, 10, ready? There is no one righteous, not even one, okay? Once you receive Jesus, what happens? You become righteous, okay? But you understand where he's writing. He's writing to people who have not received Jesus, that are far from God, all right? But I'm going to make a point, so I want to make sure you don't go goofy on me. Oh, I'm just a dirty worm. You are not if you have Jesus. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're clothed with his glory. You are made holy, blameless, and pure. But those guys hadn't, and they didn't know it. And don't you go meh, meh, meh on me, because I'll come in ya. All right? Some of you are like, she has. Watch out, all right? Okay, the rest of it. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All right? All have turned away. They have together become worthless. I'm a worm. There is no one who does good. Bleah, not one. All righty? So you see in this scripture that seeking God was not norm. Seeking God was not the normal. It wasn't normal to seek God. Okay, and we're talking people that don't know Jesus. That was not the norm. Okay, so there must be something else people seek. If okay, what are they seeking? All righty. Well, first off, Jesus tells us to seek him first. There's got the Apostle Paul, he's saying, seek him, okay? But there must be some other things, all righty? So, what are the other things besides God that people seek, all right? Well, I don't know about you, but there's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that we can be running hard after, and we're not running after God, all right? There's things you can run after hard, all right? But he says that we are to seek him first. Why? All right? Don't you love two-year-olds? Why? Clean up your room. Why? Eat your dinner. Why? Well, it's okay to do this with God. Well, why? Why should I be seeking you first? Why should I be running hard after you? Why should I be a guard chaser? Because your ultimate life is in God. I'm out of words. The ultimate life, okay, is not you seeking stuff, but the real part of life, the real peace of life, the real joy of life, the real purpose of your life is to seek him. Amen. Seek him, all righty? Now, go back to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to pick up in verse 21. Jesus is getting ready to drop bombs all over the place. You know, he is just going to, what do we say, kill holy cows? He is going after it, all right? So he's about ready to tell people, you're not seeking God the Father. You're not seeking Jesus the man. You're not seeking him at all. Matter of fact, write this down. You are seeking the supply and not the supplier. Of course, that's not us. It's somebody else, right? But he's getting ready to nail them, all right, is that you are seeking the supply and not the supplier, all righty? To me, the best example, that's like some woman going to find a rich man for a husband. What is she seeking? Rich, the supply, and not the supplier, the man. And that's bad. Everybody say that's bad. Matter of fact, I heard a story. Years ago, I got to know these girls that were tellers at a bank. And then later on, I got invited to, leave out half the detail, Pastor D. Anyway, they were looking at the people that would come in the bank, the young guys that came in the bank, and seeing how much money they had. And they went after it, the guy. And one of them married the guy. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so anyway, that's bad. I mean, that's bad. Okay? That's bad on your relationship, right? It's going to be bad on your relationship, okay? So Jesus is about ready to drop the bomb and says, hey, y'all are going after the supply, and you're not going after the supplier, all right? Not good, dangerous, okay? Because why? He's the one that supplies, right? Right? He's the one that supplies your peace. He's the one that just supplies the fix to your marriage when it's messed up. He supplies everything. So how about we go this way? Right? So we go after the supplier. All right? Now, some of you are just babes here. Some of us have been around the block on our 50th time here, okay? And this is what I found out life. Okay, I'm running my race. I'm running my race with the Lord Jesus, and I'm married. And I tell you, I've said, you start seeking other things and not him first. Right? Your marriage is, all right? But seek God first, all right? And I love when people, Pastor Dang, you say, I seek God first, then the devil's after me. I hear that all the time. All right? And first off, put God first. All right? Put God first. And the other part is, you need to put him in his place. Did you read your Bible? Jesus defeated the devil. He says, and you all are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he gave you authority over that devil. All right? So that should not be your terminology. Oh, I'm just being attacked. I'm being attacked. Change your mouth. Get a bar of soap. Okay? All righty? Listen, you need to put him in his place. And I've been a little slower than a fifth grader sometimes. Like, things are going on, and all of a sudden, duh, it's the devil. You need to put him in his place. All right? Put him in a place for your marriage, with your kids, whatever what's going on. I remember telling this one person. Well, I probably told a lot of persons this, okay? But this one particular family, well, there have been a lot of those families, they call me up Monday. Oh, Pastor E, we could make it in church again. I was like, I said, when are you going to get smart? And on Friday night when all hell is blowing up, realize you have authority over that. Because it was like every Friday and Saturday and Sunday morning, all hell's blowing up and they couldn't. And it wasn't just come to church. There was a whole thing. And I'm like, put him in his place. Everybody say, put him in his place. Okay, that's not what I was preaching about, but we are reading red letter verse 21, Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The Amplified says, for where your treasure is, there your wishes, your desires, all your center of life will be. Where your treasures are. Okay? All right. Now, right there, he's getting ready to tell you all your money things, you get them in the right place. You can get them in the right order by putting him first. That's what he's going to go tell him. If you put, you can get the money thing in the right place. And he's telling you if you put him first. All right. Now, I'd love to say, but people have a hard time on church and money. That church, all they ever do is want your money. Oh, my gosh, they want your money. And those mega churches, oh, my gosh. Well, we're not yet a mega church. But listen, I don't want your money. I don't want your money, I'm telling you what. But there is somebody who is after your money. It's God. Whoa, you thought I was going to say the devil. Gotcha. All right? You got to have fun on Sunday, all right? Listen, it's God. And you know why he's after your money? Write down Proverbs 3, 9. Proverbs 3, 9. He said, okay, read it. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions or your wealth or cha-ching, cha-ching, all right? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. First fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. Okay? So he's saying, I want you to honor me first with your first. Okay? With your first. All right? Basically, I want you to honor me with your money. That's what he's saying there. Okay? Now, he didn't say you have to honor him with every single penny you got. Because he uses the word first fruits. And if you go dig into that, that meant the first tenth. the tithe. He says, I just want you to honor me. Just want you to honor me with the first fruits. Okay? And not the bottom, but the top of your first. Okay? Not the leftovers. That's what he said. And listen, he said that. I didn't say that. What's Bill Winston say? Don't hate the messenger. I'm just the messenger. Don't go looking at me and hating me. Okay? I'm just telling you what God said. All right? He said that. All right? So people come to church and get mad at pastors because they say what God said. Well, I got news. I'm not going to come and not say what God said so you'll be nice to me. I'm going to say what God said. Besides, God said that. So what did he say? You are to honor him with your first possessions, increase. Okay? All righty. So now, then you get to be a 2-year-old. Why? Why? What happens? All right? What happens when you honor him? He says, I will be the supplier who will supply for you all your needs. This is what we're going to get ready to read that. He said, you honor me, I will supply all your needs, whatever you need. All right. How many of you live this life? You know this. But Jim, you were just talking about it. I was like, golly gee, it's just wonderful. Okay. Now, again, I don't honor him. You ought to write this down. To get blessed. It's not why I honor him. I honor him because I love him. I honor him because I was pitiful. I just honor him because he's done everything. I honor him out of love, okay? But I honor him. And listen, when I honor him first, okay, he will in return cause blessings in my life. And you know, blessings isn't always money, okay? Okay, but he will bless you in your life when you honor him. He said it, I didn't say it, but listen, I've lived it, I've watched it, and I'm going to keep on doing it. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's read, go back to Matthew 6. Let's read verse 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is healthy, your whole body was full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is the darkness? Okay. When he talks about the eye, he's not talking about your physical eye. All right. He's not talking about that. All right. But he's talking about a spiritual principle. Okay. And he says, you start seeking him. He brings light into your life. Not like some weird cult. There's an light aura around you. Wah. Okay, that's not what he's talking about. Because wait a minute. Jesus is called the light of the world. Okay, and he comes to live inside of you. And his spirit's and lives inside of you. So he's talking about he will put light and guide you. It's awesome. All right, praise God. All right, let's go down to verse 24. 24. No one, this is good. Now, I got to say this again. You got to read this in context because we're talking about seek first the kingdom of God. Because a lot of times people just pull this out randomly and they throw it and make balloons out of it. But see, okay, we got to read it in context. Here we go. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve seek. You cannot serve both God and money. All right. So this is the whopper. You can't serve both God and money. So this is what it means. Here, listen. If I give God me, if I seek him, if God has all of me, guess what does not have me? Money. Money ain't got me. Money, I'm not serving it. I am serving him. Okay? And listen, y'all seen people that are just seeking and serving money, all right? But listen, so once I receive Jesus into my life, once I accept him, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, okay? Money doesn't have control because I gave my control over to him. Everybody say, I gave my control over to him, all right? And I am pursuing him. I am a God chaser. I am chasing hard after him. So that's what it says. So now he rules my life. He rules my life. Then the money becomes my servant. You ought to write that down. Money is my servant, all right? I'm not serving money. I am serving him. All right? And I'll do good with money because I'm not serving it. I'm serving him. Oh, man. All right. Especially the last 6 months, I have seen people get anxious and just, you know, it's been beautiful. But watch what he says. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry. That's a command. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Phew. Just getting dressed Sunday morning is a delight. I'm telling you what. Clothes all over. I love this one. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. By the way, Jim quoted Malachi, a scripture about barns, and I did Proverbs, barns. You're all supposed to have barns full. All right, just go back and look it up, all right? So they don't sow or gather or reap into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? He just told you the most amazing thing. He said, listen, you are worth more than the birds, okay? You are worth more than the birds that he takes care of so wonderfully. You are worth more than that, all righty? So if I'm worth more than that, if you're worth more than that, he's going to take care of me. Okay, but you got to know him. He's going to take care of me. So he says, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about anything. All right. Now, just this past month, I've had three people come up to me. You know, they're talking about work at work. They're going to have some layoffs. You know, I don't know. Okay. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And all my single moms, you know, I don't know. Am I putting kids in school or how am I going to pay for this or how am I going to do that? And I watch you get into the groove of being anxious, a.k.a. worry, all right? All righty, now listen. I know it's goofy out there. I know, just follow stocks and whatnot, up and down, up and down, up and down. And the media, gee whiz, it just is negative, negative Nancy, right? And so I love these people that post things on Facebook, something, a really wonderful thing, and they go, didn't see that on CBS, all right? So most of the media is pretty negative. And then for all of you that live in front of your phone, okay, and you're just nonstop doing that, can I just give you a suggestion? Turn off the TV. Put your phone away. What am I going to do without my phone? You're going to do what we did when the phone hung on the wall. You're going to have a life. Okay, and you're not going to be going tilt, tilt, tilt because of this thing bombarding you, all right? All right, just thought I'd say that. Have a life. Verse 27, here we go. Can any of you add one moment to his life span by worrying? Anybody know a professional worrier? Knock it off. That's what he's saying. Don't worry about this stuff. Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin a thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor and adornment like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? Oh, you of little faith. So don't worry saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek those things. Okay? So what he's saying is, hey, listen, don't go after the things those people go after. So people who don't know the Lord, people that don't know, not just here, know God, that he said he'll take care of everything. People that don't know will seek after everything else. Okay? And they're not seeking God. So you got friends that don't know the Lord and you're running the race with them and they're seeking those things? No, 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 no. Come on. We're going to seek him first and I'm going to go to bed at night going, God, you are my supplier and I just love you. You'll take care of me. You always do. All right. So we're going to seek something different. Okay. Verse 32, the last part. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. Okay. But here we go. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be provided for you or added to you. All righty. It just amazes me. I just go through all these red letter scriptures like this and people will just fight me. God's not going to give you anything. God's not going to supply for you. You better be doing this. And I'm going, duh, I just read that. He said that. I believe that. You got to get there. You go, he said that. I believe that. Now, but here's the thing. I'm not seeking the things. Though you all need a job, okay, but I'm not seeking. Somebody, I preached a couple weeks ago, and she came up, tapped me on the head. Pastor D, you almost got, like you told everybody not to have a job and quit. I said, no, I did. Okay. So anyway, listen, I'm not seeking the things. I'm going to seek him, and then he'll add these things. So you all get that? We're going to seek him. We're going to seek him. We're going to be God chasers. We're going to pursue him. We're going to put him first. First in our week. First in our giving. And I watch him do wonderful things. Wonderful things. Now, let me tell you a story. Long, long time ago in a far, far away place. I'm probably in my 20s. Oh, yeah. So we're out in Tulsa, and we're going to Bible school. And it's Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday. And this is back in the dinosaur ages where you couldn't record. Okay, what was going on before those days? Everybody, I was talking to Amber. One of her kids said something like, "Boy, you're really old." We were just laughing. Okay, so this is back when the dinosaurs, and you couldn't record special things. So it was Super Bowl Sunday, but back then every church had Sunday night service. Okay, and we actually, Jack and I were a part of the Sunday night service. I think I was doing children's ministry. I don't know what Jack was doing, but we could have been torn between two lovers. 70 songs. Okay. Some of you, right over your head, just a bunch of babies. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay, so you could have been torn. We could have been torn. Should we go to church, or we should go to Super Bowl Sunday? All right. And I'm telling you, we made a decision that day that I'm telling you just changed my life to this day. And we chose we were going to go to church. Now, we didn't have to go to church. I could have gotten someone to fill in for me. Jack could have gotten someone to fill in for him. I don't even know what he was doing back then. Okay, we could have done that. But we made a decision to choose to seek him first. Pursue, chase hard after him. All right? And I'm telling you, wonderful. All right. And we made that decision back then, that moment. And besides, here's the deal. By the way, we ended up by going like about halftime, and I really wasn't going to watch the game. And I think it was the Steelers playing 1979, because we hung out with a whole bunch of East Coast people. That's why we're all getting together. Okay. See, I know a little bit. Don't Google it, but I think so. But anyway, I was going for the food. All right. But here's the thing. Ready? Some of y'all live and breathe football, Penn State, Steelers, whatever. And here's the deal. I don't think they're playing football in heaven. What? Yeah, maybe, but I don't think so, okay? So how about you just put God first now? Just put him first. And besides, you get to record everything now. All right, Pastor D, you better move faster. Just loving you. Okay, so seeking God is an action, right? Seeking God is an action. You put him first. You make decisions. And y'all made a decision, action today, to put him first. Okay, years ago, we made a decision, an action, to put him first. All righty? So, but can I tell you, there have been times I didn't put him first. What? Yeah, I'm not perfect. I did not put him first. And can I tell you what happened? Every time that we got ourselves in trouble, it was because we didn't put him first. What do you mean you didn't put him first? Well, I didn't ask him what I was about ready to do, or I didn't pray about something. All right. And you think, oh, I know to pray about that. But some days I'm just running. And I was like, the next day when everything blows up and I'm in a trouble, I'm like, oh, man, we didn't pray about that. We didn't ask him. All right. So, seek him first, all righty? Now, praise God. So, seeking God first is an action, but it's also a posture. Okay, what do you mean, Pastor D? Like yoga? No, some of you wouldn't get off the ground. Okay, myself included. I'm not talking about that, okay? Again, the seek first, that word seek means to strive after and to go after. It also meant to worship something. And worship meant to bow to him, bow towards him. All right. So I could get down here. I'm going to hang on to this. Okay. And you might be thinking, oh, she's bound to Jesus. No, I'm not. I'm just doing this as an example. It's not doing anything for me. So you're in a worship service like we just had, and you have your arms out like this, just you and Jesus, and the guys are doing it, and everybody's singing. You just, you know what? You have just bowed your heart to him. Did you have to get down? No. So it's worship is a heart thing. And God is always checking out your heart. Better yet, he just knows your heart. Worship is a heart thing. Everybody say it's a heart thing. All right. But sometimes it's really nice when you lift your hands. The worship team goes, woohoo. All right. All right. All righty. So bowing means to look to him. Bowing means he's first. Bowing means, new word, write it down. I am humbling myself to him. I am dependent on him. Okay? Seek and worship. It's a posture, okay? Now, I know that there's a lot of addictions going on. I have buried just about everybody in my family because of addictions. I'm very compassionate. And I believe there's rehabs and all that, and there's Jesus, okay? But what happens with addiction is they become dependent, right? Dependent. So how about they just say, now I know it's, okay, I have compassion, but really what we should be saying is, Jesus, I'm dependent on you. I am bowing to you. I am humbling myself to you. I will be dependent on you. I will seek you. And you are enough. All right? Now, not just addictions. All right? But how about every day? Right? Every day. All right? So turn over to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Here's a good scripture about, we're going to talk a little bit about humility. Doing good. 1 Peter, where did I write that? Yep. Here we go. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Oh, y'all already know this. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself, okay, under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he'll lift you up, okay? So when you don't humble yourself, guess what you do? You lift yourself up, all right? You exalt yourself, all righty? But when you have humility, you don't do that, all righty? Now, in the Greek culture, when this was written, it was like yuck, bad weakness to have people bow towards someone. And Jesus comes along and he says, this is a virtue in the kingdom of God, to bow, to submit, to depend on someone. Him, all right? So he just blows them out. Now, I want to make sure you understand, in a worship service, all right, you don't have to get on your knees. Pastor says, everybody get on your knees and worship, okay? You don't have to do that, because some of us need some help getting up, all right? Okay, you don't have to worship like so-and-so worships. You don't have to do what they do. But listen, you enter into worship, and I am going to bow to him. My heart. I'm going to give him my heart. Why would you not give him your heart? He gave you everything. He gave you life and godliness, eternal life. He gave you, okay? How could you not? So in worship, it's a heart thing, all right? I just got to say that again, okay? How you express yourself in worship, all right, is a heart issue. And you just always remember, it's me and him, me and him. And some of you look so funny. I don't really, you know, the way you worship. You just, I don't care. That's the way you worship. I worship different, okay? Some of you think I worship weird. Like, I get the jump going. You're like, why is she jumping? I'm worshiping. Be quiet, all right? Praise God. All righty. Have you ever read a book on humility? Write this down for Christmas. I want a book on humility. I gave mine away. It was by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray on humility. Now, I want to tell you what happens when you read one of these books on humility. You're going to go, wow, it just smacked you all over the place. Because you realize you're not so humble of a person. All righty? Like, I thought I was humble. And then you read one of these books and you're like, whoa. Sort of like about 6 months ago, I read a book on honor. Ha! I got kicked all over the football field. All right? So sometimes you go read these things. All righty? Now, have you ever known somebody who is a nothing? And all of a sudden they become a something, like everybody knows them. And then you go up to talk to them, and they don't even give you the time of day. All right? Okay. That's not humility, is it? Okay. True humility. Ready? I am nothing without you. You should write that down. That should be your post-it note, okay? Everything I have is because of you. Right? I can do nothing without you. Right? But when you start thinking, I got it, no big deal,
I got this. I'll take care of this. I got the wife. I got the kids. I got the kid thing. I know what's going on. You know what you start stinking of? Pride. Pride. And I was going to say something else, but I won't. Okay, keep going. Andrew Murray, this book. Okay, quote. This is really good. Humility is the path to death. Death of self. Right? So Christ can truly reign. Awesome. So the biggest battle you're going to have in life is this, the self. Like, I got this, or better yet, I'm going to worry about this. I'm going to be anxious about this. I'm going to fret about this. You all got pride going on. Me too. I've had this, not just pointing at you, okay? Because I'm not looking at him. All right? Get over yourself or die to self, all right? So listen to his other one, he says. Andrew Murray says this, the opposite of humility is pride. Pride is when you lose the attitude of your dependency that is fully on him. You lose it instead of being dependent on him, and you believe you are responsible for your life. You believe you're responsible for your life. So, in other words, pride starts thinking, I got this. I don't need God. I'm just going to work some extra hours. I got this. I've read a couple books, okay? Now listen, we need to be dependent on him. Keep reading those books, though. Keep reading your Bible, all right? But maybe we start going, God, I am dependent on you. My life needs you. I depend on you, all right? Now, Jesus got this. John chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 30. Here, I'm just going to read them to you really quick, all right? Jesus said, the Son of Man could do nothing of himself. Sounds a little humble there. I think he got the humility part. The Son of God can do nothing of himself. He got it, all right? The other one, John 5:30 says, I of my own self do nothing. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will. If Jesus can't do anything except for be dependent on the supplier, holy moly, God help us. We need to do the same thing, right? God, I need you. Now, sometimes the hard part is when it's easy to... I cry out all the time. We call it the help prayer. You're in a mess, okay? And you get that because you're smarter than the fifth grader. But how about seek him every day when life looks good? And you go, God, I can do nothing of myself. I need you. I bow to you. I'm dependent on you, okay? Just thought I'd say that. All right. How do we do this? Praise God. Again, I want to say being humble isn't always kneeling. It's a heart thing, bowing to him in things of life. Amen? Amen? All right. So let's pray. Oh, let me tell you one more story. Okay. Humility. I didn't really know what the word, I hadn't read the book, and I kind of, one day, this is probably 15, 20 years ago, I volunteered in my kids' middle school. I did a morning program. They were all Christian kids. And then once a week, Tom Medwin and I would show up. He was the cute one. I was the muscle. Okay. We would show up and kids would come in for last period. Like you didn't want to go to homeroom. You didn't want to do your homework. You didn't want to go to that. You can come in. We'd have around about 100 kids. Okay. And it was incredible. Incredible. And the first time that happened, we packed up. I thought I carried that big old sound system in, that big monster thing. I'd drag it in. I get in the car to go, and I put my head on the steering wheel, and I lose it. I just go cry. I said, God, I can't believe what you're doing. Kids are hearing Jesus, and they're receiving Jesus. God, I am so humbled that you would let me be a part of this. God, I can't believe you're doing stuff. I am in awe. Every week I'd leave, and I wasn't purposely doing the head on the steering wheel and cry, but humility. God, you're doing this. And I tell you what, every Sunday I leave, it may not be on the steering wheel. So one time I tried doing on a steering wheel, eating a cookie, and I crashed into somebody, backed into somebody. So I try to pay attention now. Okay. I did. Had to replace the whole backside there. Okay. But pretty soon after I go downstairs, I will just put my head and get quiet and go, God,
you amaze me that you would call me, place me, let me share your word, and you do wonderful things. You're changing lives. And God, I am so humble. God, I am dependent on you. And I love you. And then I just wear my mascara all over the place every Sunday. Okay? Praise God. So let me give you a homework assignment and then we're going to pray. Ready? Homework, homework. Ready? What can you do to seek him first? Okay? What can you do to seek? Like, what adjustments can you do to make in your life? All right? What adjustments can you do to seek him first? And this one. So one, how seeking him first. Two, do you have areas in your life that you need to practice humility in? If you answered no, your husband's kicking you, okay? Especially if you're married. You'll go through seasons, we're good, and then all of a sudden, you know, they'll pull you on the carpet. Okay, so there's always an adjustment in being humble and bow and being a servant to people in your life. And most importantly, have you sought him, humbled yourself to him where you are chasing him? All right. So answer that. All righty. Listen, it is much better bowing to him. Amen. Than something else. Praise God. And then you know what you do? You do all that. You seek him. Okay. You, not the supply, but the supplier. You seek him. He does his job. And then you have something to share, okay? You just keep this going. I'm seeking him. I'm loving him. I'm doing this when he talks to me. I'm bound to him. He does his job because you do your job. It's really simple, right? No stress. Sure, Pastor D, how many gray hairs you have? Yeah, I'm working on them. Okay, so let's pray. Praise God. Bow your heads, close your eyes for a minute. Father, I thank you for everybody in this place. I thank you for everybody that's listening. I thank you that, Lord, you have ignited fires to be God chasers today. I thank you, Father, that we are desiring to chase hard after you, to seek you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are opening our eyes in areas that we need to bow more to you, more to others. And I thank you, Father, that we just kick pride out of this place, Lord, because we know we can do nothing of our own self. We are dependent on you. We thank you. I thank you for everybody here, Father. I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you just keep this word before us this week, tonight, tomorrow, as we go about. Just keep it, and Lord, we're yours, Lord. Praise God. One more thing. If you're here today, and I know most of you, but you just, if you're here today, sometimes y'all surprise me, but if you're here today and you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, you have not personally asked him to come into your life. You have not personally submitted to him, bowed to him, given your everything to him. Today's the good day. And it's so easy. It's just, Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. You paid a price for me, and I receive it. I receive you, and I thank you for new life. So if you're here today and you have never asked Jesus to just be in your life, be the lead, the one that you submit to, today is a great day to receive him. So if you'd raise your hand, we'll pray for you. My second invitation is, if you're here and you've done that, you know, it's been a while. You've said, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. But you have been just so distracted and just been seeking just everything and anything this way. And you've forgotten to chase him. Just raise your hand and we'll just pray for you. And it's a real simple prayer. It's just, I love this one. You just simply say this, Father, I confess I've sinned. I've missed the mark and I've been chasing other things. And this day I turn my whole life back to you and I will chase hard after you. And I thank you that your word and your Holy Spirit would lead me. I thank you that I am now a God chaser. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, everybody, eyes ball up here. In front of you, you have a blue card. It's called Volunteers. Since this lovely season of 2020, many of our people that have volunteered in different departments have not been able to come back to church for different reasons. And we never need, we just give you opportunities.
I don't need you. I just give you an opportunity. But we have opportunities. So if there's something here that strikes your fancy, go pray about this. Matter of fact, everybody take this card home with you and go pray about it. Go pray about how I can serve the Lord. Amen? Okay. I love you. You are the best. Stand up. Praise God. Thank you, Father, that your light is leading us and that we are the head and not the tail. We are redeemed from the curse. We are a light wherever we go. We are making differences in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a super week. Amen.